Introducing two new and improved Jeremy's Razors. Fighting the left and building the future means constantly bringing your best, and that's exactly what Jeremy's Razors is doing. Choose between the new and improved Precision 5 Razor for an exceptionally smooth and close shave, or the brand new Sprint 3 Razor for a quick, clean shave. The new razors feature top-to-bottom redesign. Enjoy an ergonomic handle designed for superior durability. The new coated stainless steel blades are sharper, so they last longer. Increased flexibility allows the razor to better contour to your face to reduce nicks and cuts. Plus, the lubricating strip is now equipped with argan oil and aloe. It's time to toss out that woke razor and get yourself a Precision 5 or Sprint 3 trial kit today. Pledge to fight the left and build a future with Jeremy's Razors. Go to jeremysrazors.com and order yours today.
Today on the Matt Walsh Show, Joe Biden will start funding organizations that perform abortions around the world. And he does this while claiming to be a Catholic, a devout Catholic, no less. Also, five headlines, including a lawsuit claiming that Twitter, while banning conservatives for their harmful content, supposedly, failed to delete accounts that publish child pornography. Plus, the White House offers the lamest excuse possible for Biden's failures to follow his own mask mandates. All of that and much more today on the Matt Walsh Show. You know, one of the best win-wins that we can give ourselves right now, especially right now in the culture, is to support businesses that support us, to support businesses that have the same value system as us, rather than always giving our money to businesses that oppose us, businesses that really hate us, even though we're their customers. And that's why Charity Mobile is such a great opportunity and such a win-win opportunity for everybody involved. The pro-life phone company is Charity Mobile because they give 5% of your monthly plan price right to the pro-life, pro-family charity of your choice. It's up to you what charity you want to give to, but it's going to be pro-life and pro-family. A lot of other perks come with Charity Mobile, including new activations and eligible accounts, which get a free cell phone with free activation and free shipping. And there's no contract, there's no termination fees, there's no risk with a 30-day guarantee, so you might as well try it out, see if you like the service. You got nothing to lose, and I think you will like the service. Plus, you got live customer service based right in the USA. So everything about this company is great. And all the while, you're helping to build a culture of life in America while supporting a pro-life phone company. You can turn everyday living into effortless giving, right to the charity of your choice. And also, by the way, nationwide service on America's largest and most reliable 4G LTE network. I have Charity Mobile. It's what I've been using for months now. And I tell you, another great thing with my Charity Mobile service is that I mean this sincerely. I've never had a call drop out since I started. How long I've been with Charity Mobile? Several months now. I've never had a call drop out on me. I can't guarantee that's going to be the case for everybody, but that has been my experience. I can tell you that. You can call them at 1-877-474-3662 or chat with them online at charitymobile.com. It's expected that at some point today or in the coming days, Joe Biden will revoke the Mexico City policy, which blocks any tax dollars from going into the pockets of organizations around the world that promote or perform abortions. Dr. Fauci made the announcement while speaking to the World Health Organization on Thursday, promising that Biden would abolish the policy and start funding abortions internationally once again. Here's Fauci's exact words. He says, "It'll be our policy to support women's and girls' sexual and reproductive health and reproductive rights in the United States as well as globally. To that end, President Biden will be revoking the Mexico City policy in the coming days as part of his broader commitment to protect women's health and advance gender equality at home and around the world." Now, I'm sorry, but I can't read a statement like that without clarifying and reiterating that reproductive health is an incredibly misleading euphemism for abortion. It's really a misnomer. Abortion has nothing to do with reproductive health or reproductive rights. Indeed, it has nothing to do with reproduction at all. Abortion happens after reproduction has already occurred. By preventing the birth of the child, by killing it, you are not preventing the reproduction from happening. So you notice when a woman is giving birth, the doctor does not say, "Look, she's reproducing." There are hopefully no doctors in the vicinity watching during the actual reproductive act. The birthing act, though, is when the already produced child moves from the mother's womb out into the great wide world. Fauci, of course, understands this, but he uses these kinds of phrases because he is a dishonest man. Speaking of being dishonest, yesterday the new White House press secretary was asked about this and asked whether Biden would reverse this Mexico City policy. And she responded with the most transparent political deflection in the history of political deflections. We played this clip yesterday during the headlines segment, but let's play it again.
Go ahead all the way in the back.
Yeah, hi. Congratulations on your new position.
Owen Jensen with EWTN Global Catholic Network. Two big concerns for pro-life Americans. The Hyde Amendment, which of course keeps taxpayer dollars, as you know, from paying for abortions, Medicaid abortions, and the Mexico City policy, which under the previous administration they expanded to keep tax dollars from overseas paying for abortions. So what is President Biden planning on doing on those two items right now?
Well, I think we'll have more to say on the Mexico City policy in the coming days. But I will just take the opportunity to remind all of you that he is a devout Catholic and somebody who attends church regularly. He started his day attending church with his family this morning. But I don't have anything more.
Don't have anything more for that. All I have is this irrelevant note. That's all I got. Now, as I also explained yesterday, no, Joe Biden is not a devout Catholic. He's not any kind of Catholic. He's not even a bad Catholic. He's a Catholic. He's a Catholic only in the same sense that I'm a humpback whale, which is to say, I'm not a humpback whale. Words have meaning as much as the left might wish it were otherwise. The word Catholic has meaning. Part of what it means to be a Catholic is to accept and assent to the moral authority of the church. If you don't believe the church has moral authority, then there's no reason to be Catholic. And there is no sense in which you are a Catholic. If you think that the church in its official teachings gets it wrong sometimes and right sometimes, then you have the exact attitude towards the church that every non-Catholic has. Because you are a non-Catholic, no matter what else you say. So I can say that there are probably some things, from my perspective, that Jehovah's Witnesses believe that I also believe. There are some things that maybe they get right. Not many things, in my opinion, but some. They don't celebrate birthdays, for example, and I also don't like birthdays, so I think they're on the right path with that one. But I can also say that I don't accept the fundamental teachings of the Jehovah's Witness Church. If I did accept it, then I'd be a Jehovah's Witness. The very thing that makes me not a Jehovah's Witness is that I don't accept it. And this is the very thing that makes Joe Biden not a Catholic. And by the way, this is something I would be saying even if I myself was not a Catholic. Nothing I'm saying here has anything to do with my being a Catholic. This is merely about the definitions of things. And I know by definition, you cannot in any meaningful sense be a member of a religion, much less a devout member, if you don't share the core beliefs of that religion. On that score.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
I think this is important to note. What does the church say about the subject of abortion? Well, there's a lot to say, actually. Through the centuries. Let's check the catechism, always a good thing to consult for these questions. And I quote, this is what the Catholic Church says. Human life must be respected. And remember, this is what the religion that Joe Biden claims devout adherence to says. Human life must be respected and protected absolutely from the moment of conception. From the first moment of his existence, a human being must be recognized as having the rights of a person, among which is the inviolable right of every innocent being to life. Since the first century, the church has affirmed the moral evil of every procured abortion. This teaching has not changed and remains unchangeable. Direct abortion, that is to say, an abortion willed either as an ends or a means, is gravely contrary to the moral law. Formal cooperation in an abortion constitutes a grave offense. The church attaches the canonical penalty of excommunication to this crime against human life. A person who procures a completed abortion incurs excommunication by the very commission of the offense. And subject to the conditions provided by canon law. The church does not thereby intend to restrict the scope of mercy. Rather, she makes clear the gravity of the crime committed, the irreparable harm done to the innocent who is put to death, as well as to the parents and the whole of society. The inalienable right to life of every innocent human individual is a constitutive element of a civil society and its legislation. Okay. I'm biased, but I think that's pretty good. That's good stuff. This is the moral teaching of the church. You are absolutely free to disregard it, laugh in its face, say that's a bunch of malarkey. Come on, man. You're free to do that. You're not free to do that while still claiming to be a Catholic, just as I am not free to get married while still remaining a bachelor. Have to choose one or the other. This is not a matter of legal compulsion, but of logical conclusion. You cannot be in a religion that you fundamentally reject. And you cannot support the legalization and funding of abortion here and across the globe while also accepting the truth of everything I just read from the Catechism. Choices must be made. Joe Biden has made his choice. He has long since made it. And his choice puts him outside, far outside, the religion he claims membership in and devotion to. Does that mean that Joe Biden has no religion? No, it doesn't mean that. This is the other important thing to understand. He, in fact, belongs to the largest and fastest growing religion in the West, that being the religion of self. That is Joe Biden's religion. And the great thing about being in the religion of self, where you worship and idolize your own ambitions and desires, is that you don't have to do the work of building the religion from scratch. You can dip into other established religions, borrow the bits you prefer, the bits you like. Joe Biden likes going to church, which is nice. Good for him. So that becomes part of his religious practice. Not his Catholic religious practice, because he isn't a Catholic, but part of his devotion to self. He does it because he likes it. So it's about him. He doesn't like the stuff about abortion. He doesn't like the stuff about marriage and family. He doesn't like the stuff about man and woman he created them. Doesn't like that either. Doesn't like any of that, so he discards it. Keeps only the parts he likes. Gets rid of everything else. The one overriding theme, the litmus test which determines which doctrines will be adhered to and which will be tossed aside, is how those doctrines serve him and make him feel and how convenient they are for him. Seems like kind of a sweet deal. You know, members of traditional religions may look at these self-worshippers, self-idolizers, and think, man, must be nice to put together your own version. I mean, there's some stuff I wish I could toss aside. It'd be a lot easier, make my life a lot easier. Get rid of the hard parts, assemble your own religion like you're playing with a box of Legos. Seems nice, but rest assured that the religion of self is not so fun as it looks. It is, at its core, as empty as the people who belong to it. It leads only to more emptiness and ultimately despair and failure. Except for a very, very select few who may ride it all the way to the White House, enjoying for a fleeting moment the power that they've been grasping for their entire lives. Which honestly, in the end, still seems pretty empty to me.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Now let's get to our five headlines. All right, you know, I got to say, I hate to keep complaining about the food in the break room here at the Daily Wire, because the truth is, actually, there's a lot of great food, and I'm surprised by how much they feed us here. I wasn't expecting that. They're just constantly giving us food, and all I do is eat all day, really. I've gained like 70 pounds since I started working in the office, but I was walking through this morning, and I saw a tray out of, little bags, and it was premium roasted seaweed, like in the form of almost a granola bar. Premium roasted seaweed. I don't know who the maniac is here who eats that stuff. I want to report them to HR. And this is one of those things I see that reminds me sometimes that many of the people that I work with are from LA. You know, that's where the company came from. And so that's, I see stuff like that, and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, this must be an LA thing. Or I open the fridge and it's nothing but fake milk, oat milk, coconut milk, almond milk. None of that is real milk, by the way, in any sense whatsoever. Reminds me of that. On the other hand, I moved here from rural Pennsylvania, and I lived in a town, quite literally a one stop sign. We didn't have a stoplight. We had a stop sign. It wasn't even a four way stop. It was a three way stop. We had one stop sign. We had a post office, a bar, and we had a gas station convenience store. That's all we had. And I just think if I were to have walked into that gas station convenience store in rural Pennsylvania and asked if they had premium roasted seaweed, they might have pulled a gun on me. Get out of here. We don't take kindly to you seaweed chompers around here. But maybe that's what they would have said. I don't know. All right, let's get to number one from the New York Post. This is, if you're looking to be totally horrified, well, then You've come to the right place. Here it is. Twitter refused to take down widely shared pornographic images and videos of a teenage sex trafficking victim because an investigation didn't find a violation of the company's policies. This is all according to a lawsuit. The federal suit filed Wednesday by the victim and his mother in the Northern District of California alleges Twitter made money off the clips, which showed a 13-year-old engaged in sex acts and are a form of child sexual abuse material or child porn, the suit states. The teen, who's now 17 and lives in Florida, is identified only as John Doe and was between 13 and 14 years old when sex traffickers posing as a 16-year-old female classmate started chatting with him on Snapchat, according to the suit. This is all according to the lawsuit, so I don't have to keep saying that. Doe and the traffickers allegedly exchanged nude photos before the conversation turned to blackmail. If the teen didn't share more sexually graphic photos and videos, the explicit material he'd already sent would be shared with his parents, coach, pastor, and others. Doe, acting under duress, initially complied and sent videos of himself performing sex acts and was also told to include another child in his videos, which he did. Eventually, Doe blocked the traffickers. They stopped harassing him. But at some point in 2019, the video surfaced on Twitter under two accounts that were known to share child sexual abuse material. Over the next month, the videos would be reported to Twitter at least three times, but the tech giant failed to do anything about it until a federal law enforcement agent got involved. And I'm not going to keep reading this entire thing. It's a long report, worth reading, though. But to summarize, finally, so this is child porn being put on, this is a sex trafficking victim, which, by the way, you know, you almost don't need to say both of those because if it's child porn and this is a sex trafficking victim, by definition, this is a person who's being abused by definition. And so this stuff is on Twitter and it's allowed to be there. And according to the lawsuit, they report it multiple times. And we're originally told that it doesn't violate the terms of service. Until finally federal agents got involved and then they took it down. So you just, you keep that in mind when you hear about Twitter taking down, kicking Donald Trump off the platform because of his harmful, abusive material, inciting and all that kind of stuff. All these conservatives were kicked off. The New York Post was shut down for months because of its harmful material, misleading material. Yet this is allowed to remain. And part of that is, now part of it is obviously ideological and it's the bias against conservatives and all that stuff. So we know about that. But the other part of it is that there are just a lot of people, many of them running these big tech giants, who don't see abusive pornography as obscene. Because these are, talk about empty, amoral, soulless people. Well, that's who they are. So when they think about harmful material online, what they mean and what comes to mind for them are ideas that they don't agree with and they don't want other people to be exposed to. So for them, that is what obscenity is. It's an idea they don't like. But child pornography, any kind of pornography, no, that's not obscene. That's what? Free speech, I guess, they would tell us. Number two, Joe Biden was asked about his vaccine rollout plan. And here's how that, I think we're going to get a lot of exchanges like this, but here's how that exchange went.
You said you set the goal at 100 million vaccines.
Thank you, guys.
Is that high enough? Shouldn't you set the bar higher? That's basically where the U.S. is right now.
When I announced it, you all said it's not possible. Come on, give me a break, man.
Come on, you guys.
Mr. President, a good start. 100 million.
Let's go.
Thank you.
Let's go. Chris, let's go. Come on, you guys. Let's go. For a thank you, guys. Let's go. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
There you go. So he was asked about this plan to give 100 million vaccines, and the report was, well, maybe we should be giving more than that. Is that enough? And Joe Biden's answer is, come on, man, give me a break. And then he just gets up and leaves. That's why. That's the answer. Meanwhile, the media has consistently claimed that Biden is starting from scratch. He's talking about the vaccine rollout plan. Well, the claim that we've heard from the media many times over the last couple of days, and this exact phrase, they're starting from scratch because Trump hadn't done anything. Even though he had Operation Warp Drive and they were, it certainly seemed like there's plenty being done, but the media said, no, nothing was done. Starting from scratch, he's got to do it all himself. Well, Dr. Fauci was asked about this at a press conference, and here's what he said.
Just ask you about the effort to distribute the vaccines, because, of course, that's what most people want to know. When are they going to get a vaccine? Is the Biden administration starting from scratch with the vaccine distribution effort, or are you picking up where the Trump administration left off?
No, I mean, we certainly are not starting from scratch, because there is activity going on in the distribution. But if you look at the plan that the president has put forth about the things that he is going to do, namely get community vaccine centers up, get pharmacies more involved, where appropriate, get the Defense Production Act involved, not only perhaps with getting more vaccine, but even the things you need to get a good vaccine program, for example, needles and syringes that might be more useful in that.
Yeah, by the way, it's Operation Warp Speed, I'm informed, not Warp Drive. Warp Drive, that's a little different. That's Star Trek, I think. So I didn't get a little confused. Anyway, so not starting from scratch. There was obviously already something in place. But, so Fauci said that, but he also said something else, which is he was on CNN, I think a little bit later that day, maybe it was earlier in the day, same day, when he agreed that according to him, the supposedly the dishonesty from the Trump administration led to people dying. Let's listen to that clip.
So the White House released its new coronavirus strategy yesterday, and they came out with this 21-page summary of it. And the number one thing, the number one goal of the new Biden White House in terms of battling the pandemic is to restore trust with the American people. Why is it necessary to say that?
Well, I think that was really good making that number one, because what we've had, John, there's no secret. We've had a lot of divisiveness. We've had facts that were very, very clear, that were questioned. People were not trusting what health officials were saying. There was great divisiveness. Masking became a political issue. So what the president was saying right from the get-go, you know, let's reset this. Let's everybody get on the same page, trust each other, let the science speak. And he said that multiple times.
Did the lack of candor, did the lack of facts in some cases over the last year cost lives?
You know, it very likely did. You know, I don't want that, John, to be a soundbite, but I think if you just look at that, you could see that when you're starting to go down paths that are not based on any science at all, and we've been there before, I don't want to rehash it, that is not helpful at all.
I don't want it to be a soundbite, but here's a soundbite. I don't want to give you a soundbite, but here's one. Of course that's a soundbite, and he damn well knows it. Well, I want to talk about lack of candor. What about from Fauci himself, who was among the people early on saying you don't need to wear a mask? All of our sacred public health experts and officials, not just Donald Trump, early on saying you don't need masks. And now they say if you don't wear a mask, you know, you're killing people. Now, my personal opinion is that they were more right the first time. But according to what they're saying now, if you believe what they're saying now, then that means that people like Fauci and any other public health experts that don't wear a mask early on, they're responsible for killing people, according to what they're saying now. But of course, there's no accountability for that whatsoever. Moving on, number three, speaking of a lack of accountability, so we played the clip for yesterday. Joe Biden, he passes this, passes is not the word. He enacts an executive order requiring that masks be worn during interstate travel. And if you're on in federal property, you got to wear a mask. Well, then right after signing that executive order, he goes and he's on federal property. He's at the Lincoln Memorial and he's not wearing a mask. And at the White House press conference, that question was brought up. And here's how that was handled.
Go ahead.
Why weren't President Biden and all members of the Biden family masked at all times on federal lands last night if he signed an executive order that mandates masks on federal lands at all times?
At the inaugural
at the Lincoln Memorial, yes.
I think, Steve, he was it's celebrating an evening of a historic day in our country. And certainly he signed the mask mandate because it's a way to send a message to the American public about the importance of wearing masks, how it can save tens of thousands of lives. We take a number of COVID precautions, as you know, here in terms of testing, social distancing, mask wearing ourselves, as we do every single day. But I don't know that I have more for you on it than that.
Oh, so because they were celebrating. That's why I didn't wear a mask. They're just celebrating and, you know, just making a judge. Here's the thing. The answer is, well, the real answer is we have different rules for us, and you peons have to do things differently than we do. You know, we're more important than you and we can do what we want. Also, we don't really believe most of the stuff we're telling you. And so that's why we carry on and we're around other people not wearing a mask. And, you know, we as people in power, we really haven't changed our lifestyle at all, except when the cameras are on, because we don't believe a lot of what we're telling you. That's the real answer. But there is a version of the answer that's reasonable. If you want to say, well, look, it's a judgment call. He's at this celebration. There's not a bunch of people right on top of him. He's trying to speak. He wants to be understood. So he took the mask off. And that part, that I would be fine with if everybody else was given that same grace. The problem is they're not. Because this is the point that many people in America have made. I think a lot of people in America, if I were to summarize their position on masks, I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think there's probably a lot of people I've spoken to anyway, who their position on masks is basically, look, I understand in certain situations I wear the mask, but in other situations it seems unreasonable to wear it, and it's especially if I'm trying to be, if I want to be understood, I'm trying to speak to somebody and they're not right on top of me, maybe take the mask off. I think that's the position a lot of people have. If I'm in my own home, I'm having a celebration, I want to have everyone wearing masks. That's the position a lot of people have. Perfectly reasonable. The problem is that the powers that be, they allow themselves that grace, and for them, they can make those judgment calls. But they don't trust us to make those judgment calls. That's what it comes down to. They just simply don't trust you or me to make judgment calls. That's what it was early on with the masks. And they admitted that. That's why they first said, oh, don't wear the masks. And they later told us the reason was, well, we didn't want all you morons to run out and hoard all the masks, and then there wouldn't be any left for healthcare workers. I'm only slightly paraphrasing the official reason given. Okay, so you lied because you were trying to manipulate us because you don't trust our judgment because you think we're a bunch of idiots. And that's how you're governing. And it seems that that is continuing here. Continuing in that vein. Number four, from IGN, it says Microsoft has filed a patent that would allow the company to digitally revive deceased loved ones as chatbots using the individual's personal information. The Independent reports that the tech giant has raised the possibility of creating an AI-based chatbot that would be built upon the profile of a person, which includes their images, voice data, social media posts, electronic messages, among other types of personal information. It's understood that the chatbot would then be able to simulate human conversation through voice commands and or text chats. However, Microsoft has taken the concept a step further by suggesting that a 2D or 3D model of a specific person could potentially be created using images and depth information or video data of an individual in order to build a chatbot that has the same characteristics and behavior based on the digital output of a specific person. Well, this is not creepy at all. It isn't creepy or weird at all. This to me is no different, really, than putting your loved one's ashes into an urn and then drawing a face on it, like it's Tom Hanks's volleyball in Castaway, and setting it down to the dinner table and having a full-on conversation with it. It's really no different, because it's just your imagination anyway. The person's not really there. You're speaking to a chatbot. It's not really that person. Can we not? This is all I'm asking, modern society. You know, I've tolerated a lot. Can we not with this? Can this be one thing we just don't do? Can we draw a line here at least? Resurrecting our dead loved ones and turning them into chatbots. We got to draw a line. We got to draw it somewhere, don't we? Number five, finally, the account called Design Boom on Twitter has pictures of a proposed proposed tower in New York City. And the caption reads, Harry Attack proposes the striking, sinuous, Sarko-style tower for the New York skyline. And then there are pictures of it. And if you're, you could go and see these pictures. I've truly never seen a building. You really have to look at this building. They really want to put this building in New York, in the skyline. I have never seen a building that so seamlessly manages to be disturbing, hideous, and hilarious all at once. It's kind of funny, but it's also ugly as hell and terrifying. It looks like a bounce house in hell. It's like something Satan would have at his kid's birthday party. That's what I imagine. Or maybe it looks a little bit like a building that Dr. Seuss might design if he was tripping on acid. It really does look like something from a different dimension, and not in a good way. But in another sense, it's unremarkable because it's just more modern architecture that is ugly and aggressive and bad and depressing. So here's another line that I hope we draw. Let's not do that either. Okay, before we get to our daily cancellation, I almost forgot to play this. I cannot forget to play this. The best clip of the day, of indeed the year. The year is young, but this certainly, I think, is the best so far. Chuck Schumer on the floor of the Senate. No introduction required. Here's what he said.
Make no mistake, there will be a trial, and when that trial ends, senators will have to decide if they believe Donald John Trump incited the insurrection against the United States.
Incited the erection. An erection against the United States. That's, you don't want that. As a country, you don't want to be facing that, certainly. Now we know why Chuck Schumer has been so obsessed with Donald Trump for the last 4 years. He couldn't do anything but talk about Donald Trump. He has been upset at Donald Trump for inciting his erections all this time. We're starting to understand the psychology a little bit behind Chuck Schumer. Understanding it more than I ever wanted to be honest with you. One thing about being an adult and owning a house is that, you know, you need to class things up a little bit, and that's when you need real artwork on your walls. That's how you separate the adults from the posers. Is, do you have artwork on the wall? And if you're looking to do that in your home, you got to try Paint Your Life. In fact, we're in the process of buying a house right now, and we're going to be going back to Paint Your Life. We already got a few paintings from them. We're going to be going back again because Paint Your Life is just great. You can get a professional hand-painted portrait created from any photo at a truly affordable price. You can choose from a team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is absolutely perfect. It's a user-friendly platform. It lets you order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. On your end, it's a really short, very, very quick, easy process. It's also hands-on. You can be as hands-on as you want to be. I was impressed by that with my experience, where they're asking you throughout while they're painting it, you know, do you have any specifications, any notes, anything you want to change? They're always willing to do that. It's a quick and easy process. You get a hand-painted portrait in about 3 weeks. It'll be sent right to you. Makes the perfect birthday gift, anniversary gift, a wedding gift. You know you're going to be the hit of the party at a birthday party if you give someone a gift like that. Or give a gift to yourself and get Paint Your Life. At paintyourlife.com, there's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, text the word MATT to 64,000. That's MATT to 64,000. Text MATT, M-A-T-T, to 64,000. Paint Your Life. Celebrate the moments that matter most. Terms apply, available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, text MATT to 64,000. And while you're online, make sure you go to dailywire.com, become a member today, and you can use promo code RHF to get 25% off. RHF, of course, stands for Run, Hide, Fight. That's our new movie we're very excited about. Everyone's excited about it. Everyone's excited about it, except maybe some of the mainstream media critics who have been less than friendly. Although our tomato meter score over at Rotten Tomatoes has gone up a little bit for the critics. We're now up to 30%. That's exciting. What's more exciting is that the audience score is 93%. Here's what one of the critics has to say at Variety, Guy Lodge. He says, what would you do? The film tastelessly needles its viewers throughout, presenting the brawniest, most impossible answer all the while. So he didn't like it because it's brawny. Meanwhile, here's a review from just a normal audience member. They call it brilliant. They say the suspense of watching your worst fears as a student come to life on your screen and watch it be conquered gives everyone a sense of personal hope and power, exactly what we need during the pandemic. That's the kind of stuff we've been hearing from the audience. We're excited to bring you great stories that Hollywood refuses to tell. And we could do that now at 25% off if you use promo code RHF. So go watch the movie. And if you like it, don't forget to leave a review. Let's get now to our daily cancellation. Today for our daily cancellation, we're going to be canceling some of the people, some of you in the audience, I'm afraid, who have sent messages, emails, left comments in response to the show over the last couple of days. As I have been arguing that the best thing conservatives can do to win back the culture is to localize their focus and set out to make the sort of profound and meaningful changes in their own lives and communities that they have the power to make. There's a lot going on in Washington that we cannot do anything about, even if we try. There's a lot going on in our families and our communities that we could do something about, but we don't try. As I said, as many have said, the condition of the family determines the condition of the culture. So to simplify my plan, it could be put like this. In the simplest form, have a bunch of kids and homeschool them. To expand it a little bit, I suggest that we buy land, buy guns, buy books, turn the TV off. That's the way to live. I can't take credit for this plan. It was actually already proposed by the singer John Prine. May he rest in peace, and his song Spanish Pipe Dream, which is a great song if you've never heard it. In his words, he says, blow up your TV, throw away your paper, go to the country, build you a home, plant a little garden, eat a lot of peaches, try and find Jesus on your own. This indeed is the way. Take or leave the peaches, but the rest of it, yes, is the best path forward. But I have heard from a number of people, well-meaning, fine people, I'm sure, though they're still all canceled, who take issue with this plan. They say that this is surrender. It is a waving of the white flag to pull your kids out of the school system, to get them away from the cities, to extract them even a little bit from the pull of social media and pop culture. We can't do this. They say we need to remain immersed in these environments. Our kids have to remain immersed so that we can really fight and achieve ultimate victory. The common refrain I've heard many, many times over the years when I've advocated for homeschooling is that conservative parents should send their kids to public school so that the kids can be a light to others. A light in the darkness. And also so that they can be equipped to live in our society and withstand the trials and temptations that come with it, etc. Now, I think this attitude is completely wrong, and I'll explain why. It comes down to this. Children do not learn to stand apart from the culture or to be individuals by being totally immersed in it from the moment of birth. They especially don't learn this. They don't learn how to be lights, how to be warriors for truth as we want them to be, by attending public school all through their formative years. I know it doesn't work that way because I have eyes and I can look around and I can see that it doesn't work that way and hasn't worked that way. On the contrary, total immersion in the culture, especially with respect to public school, has the effect of conditioning our children. Most kids don't learn to be brave and bold and savvy by spending all their time in this environment. Instead, they learn to be just like everyone else. There are exceptions to this rule, and you could say, oh, my kids are the exception. Maybe they are. They probably aren't. You probably think they are, but they actually aren't. But maybe they are. The thing is, though, that exceptions are just that. They're exceptions. The general rule is that public school produces the kinds of kids that the system is designed to produce. And part of that design in public school is that the primary influence over your child, the people who will be most prominently teaching your child and setting the example, are not the teachers, but his peers. This is who he's going to spend most of his time with. It is their approval that he will most seek. In fact, he will learn to live for their approval. That's what kids today learn. They learn to live. They are desperate for the approval of their peers. So desperate, in fact, that if they don't get it, or if they get it and then the approval is taken away, so many kids will kill themselves. I mean, this is something that was unheard of, to have 12-year-old kids committing suicide, unheard of for much of American history. Now it happens, and it's almost like we take it for granted instead of asking, how the hell is this happening? Why is it happening? Well, it's because kids in school are conditioned by each other to act like each other, to want to be each other. And this is a problem because none of them have any clue about anything. They're all running in circles, following each other, the blind leading the blind, leading the blind, leading the blind, leading the blind. So if our goal is to raise our kids to fight the good fight, then we have to first train and equip them before we send them out into the battlefield. Conservative parents today, many of them at least, send their children out before they've been fully equipped and trained and expect it all to sort of magically turn out okay. It probably won't. It doesn't in most cases. This is why it's necessary to put some distance between the culture and our kids, to give them space to learn and grow and be kids. Because they're, you know, before they're subjected to the constant oppressive, unrelenting pressure to conform. It isn't fair to subject them to that pressure before they've been given the tools to handle it. It's like sending your kid into the woods with a saw and four nails and telling him to build a house for himself. Maybe the smartest and most naturally resourceful kids will figure it out and they'll somehow build a house. But most will not. A whole lot of kids are going to fail who would not have failed had they been given a few more tools and maybe a bit of instruction before being sent into the wilderness. And no, kids do not learn anything good or constructive anyway, from failing at tasks for which there was never any real chance of success in the first place. In other words, we don't teach our kids good lessons by setting them up for failure. Now, you set your kid up for success, and he has all the tools, and he has all the instruction he needs, and you send him out, and he fails in that case, well, then, yeah, there are lessons to be learned from that, right? But when he's set up for failure to begin with, and he's never given the tools for success, and then he fails, what's the lesson? If anything, it's a lesson that we should be learning as parents, but we don't. Something else to keep in mind. If you're worried that your kid, you know, might need to go to public school so that they're prepared for the real world, you know, remember that nothing in the real world outside of public school is anything like public school. It is a unique environment that your child will never experience again. I can tell you that living my adult life, I have never encountered a situation ever anywhere that caused me to go, oh, geez, I'm glad public school prepared me for this. In public school, a child is in a building, well, usually in a building, notwithstanding COVID shutdowns. He's in a building, segregated by age, shuffled from one room to the next, where he sits and listens to an authority figure tell him things before going to the next room and repeating that, and then finally going home. I am not aware of any workplace that functions that way, or any other place anywhere that functions that way. Your child's experience in public school, if it prepares him for anything, it prepares him to be in public school. And that's it. Maybe this is why, despite how it's portrayed, public school kids are so poorly socialized, so ill-equipped for adult life, because they've spent all of their time in an environment that so lacks any resemblance to the real world. Now, you could say the same is true of homeschooling. You know, where are you going to go in life that's like homeschooling? Of course, it's not exactly like the real world. That's the point. We don't have our kids all the way in the, quote, real world yet because they're kids. But it does more resemble what they'll see in the real world when they're in homeschooling. They're around other people that aren't only their own age. They're with their family. You know, one thing it'll prepare them for is to have a family. That's part of being in the real world. They're going to be around their parents so much that it'll better prepare them to be parents in the long run, to be adults, because they're around and they're getting this one-on-one attention from an adult, so much of it. In fact, when you hear about homeschool kids and how they're weird and all this, you know, the homeschool kids are so weird. I don't think they're weird at all. But if they are weird, it's only because they're so mature in comparison to their peers. So if there's any trouble with them fitting in, it's because they are more like adults than they are like their peers. But that's a good thing. That's a good problem to have. To have your kid be mature in the right way at a young age. So that's what you get from public school. And that's why I propose, again, pull the kids out. Give them a little bit of space. I'm not saying put them in the bubble. Although, honestly, if I had a bubble to put my kids in, I'd probably put them in that too, given the way the world is going. You don't need to go to that extent, though. Pull them out. Put a little bit of buffer, a little bit of space between your kids and the world. Give them space to grow, space to breathe, space to figure out who they are, space to learn from you without a million other voices competing and tearing them away from you. That's the way it should go. And so all the people sending me comments, emails, I appreciate your input, but unfortunately you are canceled. And that's going to do it for us today and for the week. Have a great weekend, everybody. Have a great, I'll talk to you next week. Godspeed. Well, if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to help spread the word, please give us a 5-star review. Also, tell your friends to subscribe as well. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, we're there. Also, be sure to check out the other Daily Wire podcasts, including The Ben Shapiro Show, Michael Knowles Show, The Andrew Klavan Show. Thanks for listening. The Matt Walsh Show is produced by Sean Hampton, executive producer Jeremy Boring. Our supervising producers are Mathis Glover and Robert Sterling. Our technical director is Austin Stevens. Production manager, Pavel Vodosky. The show is edited by Danny D'Amico. Our audio is mixed by Mike Coromina. Hair and makeup is done by Nika Geneva. And our production coordinator is McKenna Waters. The Matt Walsh Show is a Daily Wire production. Copyright Daily Wire 2021.
Technocrats rejoice and run amok. Biden forces little girls to undress in the same room as men. And a Republican congressman prepares articles of impeachment against President Biden on his first full day in office. Check it out on The Michael Knowles Show.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.